Good evening, everybody, and welcome to a brand new live episode of Impolite Truths here on the Outlaw Nation channel. I am one of your co-hosts. I'm the Outlaw, John Rocha, joined as always by the Bad Bruja herself, the evil one, Dorina Arellano. Dorina, how are you feeling? You've recovered from your first shot of the vaccine. How are you doing today with Bernie Mittens over there?
Well, you know, I got my Bill Gates 5G in my shoulder now. I've been microchipped. So obviously only going to speak highly of billionaires now.
Yes.
No. no, look, very grateful for the scientists and the health community in general. Very grateful that I was able to get vaccinated just last week. And I'm not looking forward to my second one because I'm not going to tell you that it was easy, but it's definitely better than dying. So I highly recommend doing it. Everybody out there that, whether you're being fed propaganda that you shouldn't take the vaccine or that it's scary, it's not. It's just a day where you have some symptoms and then you'll be fine. Highly encourage everybody out there, especially currently in Los Angeles, there's places where you can go get vaccinated no matter what age you are, and it's free. So definitely check your local media for that because a lot of people aren't able to get appointments, but there are places that are doing it for free. Highly encourage that. But yeah, look, John, obviously been following a lot of the news while I was sick and reading everything going on with the craziness with Amazon and the anti-unionization efforts that have been going on. Obviously, you know, I have not been a fan of Jeff Bezos or anybody that does not treat their workers with, humane conditions and dignity. So very much looking forward to talk about this story today. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I still haven't gotten my needle inside my arm yet for the vaccine, but the time is coming very, very soon. I'm sure I may even have to make a little bit of a drive so I can just do the one Johnson & Johnson when I get it done. So looking forward to it, but already seeing people out in the streets, already seeing road rage, already seeing anger in the stores. So all of it is coming back, all of it. But also, I'm also seeing people being very happy out with their families at outdoor restaurants, indoors as well. So it's good to see that and see America kind of slowly coming back to normal. And we're going to talk about, as Adrena mentioned, the Amazon situation here with Jeff Bezos, as the union in Alabama, as the Amazon workers in Alabama are voting to possibly go with the union. We're also going to talk about the Matt Gaetz madness that keeps expanding every day. We've even got updates from as recently as 45 minutes ago about what is going on with the Matt Gaetz situation. And if we have time a little bit later on, we're going to talk about the press conference that President Joe Biden gave today with his executive orders on gun control and see what the reactions to that have been so far. And of course, we got Sean Berto, producer Sean Berto, hanging out in the background. Make sure the chat is civil. Please keep it civil. If you're a dick, I'm going to kick you out, male or female. If you're a dick and I catch you, I'm going to keep you out. This is a place to have respectful discourse. You can disagree. We got no problems with disagreeing. Keep it civil. Keep it intelligent. Keep it cool. That's what we'd like here as we go along through Implied Truths. A little bit later, we'll bring some of y'all in live to ask your questions. Of course, if you're a Outlaw Nation patron at the $10 and above level, you get to come in first. So look forward to that a little bit later. Always love talking to our fans. Dorina, where would you like to start today?
Yes. And as we go over our two main topics, do see Streamlabs coming in. So if you'd like to ask any questions, messages, complaints, please send us a donation to streamlabs.com/impolitetruths. You can also super chat us. However, the big corporations take our money. So we much prefer Streamlabs over super chat because YouTube literally takes like 50% or something crazy. And we are not CNN or MSNBC or Fox News, thankfully. So we depend on your donations. We appreciate your contributions so we can continue the show every week. So let's get started with Amazon. Here's the thing. You kids, if you've been watching this show, you know that I have been a huge critic of these mega corporations for a while now. And now we actually have evidence that's come out the last few weeks as to what horrible things these corporations have been doing. If you haven't heard, specifically in Bessemer, Alabama, there's been some unionization efforts and organizers there that have been working hard to be able to, have Amazon workers unionize. Mm-hmm. We saw last year that fortunately Alphabet, the parent company of Google, is now letting their workers unionize, which is really good news because these mega corporations have garnered so much power the last couple of decades, and not just monetarily to the point where they don't pay enough taxes and the tax burden has been transferred to the non-wealthy, to the rest of us and to the poor, but also monopoly in the power of information, right? Like there's only a few big tech companies that literally control the information that we read on the internet, right? Like there's a lot of power that these corporations have, and they all donate to both parties, right? So there's a lot of issues there that we need to deal with antitrust lawsuits that are happening and regulations. And this is not a blue or red situation. This is not a Democratic versus Republican situation because they donate to both parties. And we saw just the last president we had, Trump specifically, drop the corporate tax rate to 21% from 35%, right? And then before that, we also saw, you know, Obama being friends with these tech bros as well, right? So like there's a lot of issues there happening that you can't get mad at one party or the other. You got to get mad at just the soft corruption in government that these corporations have, right? So specifically with Amazon, what's going on in Alabama is that employees there in the Alabama warehouses of Amazon, they just voted to determine whether this like few thousand, 6,000 employees are going to be joining retail, wholesale, and department store unions, right? Now, I want to talk about a few facts of Amazon in case you don't know. One of them is Amazon is the second largest employer in the country after Walmart. Yeah. Okay. They paid, unlike Walmart, they paid zero federal income taxes. Zero. Okay. I just started my corporation last year. I paid more in federal income taxes than Amazon did. Okay. Additionally, Jeff Bezos, because of this, is worth $180 billion. That should make everybody gag, if not completely vomit. That is too much money for one person to have. I think it's immoral personally, whatever you want to think. It's still crazy that a man that owns $180 billion has been responsible for spending money in order to not let people unionize, mm-hmm. right, within his company. And so what's been going on, we've been hearing these stories all the way to last year and before that, of Amazon spending money on lawyers to convince workers not to unionize, all the way to crazy stories like they change the time of the stoplights outside of their warehouses in order to stop unionization organizers from talking to their workers, right? We've heard these crazy stories. Yeah. So the last couple of weeks, Ken Klippenstein, who's a great journalist that I follow, that you should follow too if you don't, he used to work for The Nation. He now works for The Intercept. He actually usually works on national security, but several employees of Amazon contacted him and specifically leaked documents to him. So he didn't just talk to Amazon warehouse workers that were being treated with inhumane conditions, which we'll talk about, but he also was reached out to by people that work in the Amazon corporate departments and that leak these internal documents and emails to him, which we will show you. So what's going on is Amazon management knowingly, okay, they know about this. They've known for a while that its workers urinate in bottles and defecate in bags in order to save time and meet their quotas.
Yeah.
Okay. This is not a sensationalist story. This is literally real. There's evidence that we have that if you want to pull up some of the internal documents here, that one's actually the USPS one. So we'll go back to that one. There we go.
Yeah. This evening, Associate discovered human feces in an Amazon bag that was returned to a station by a driver. This is the third occasion in the last 2 months when bags have been returned to station with poop inside. Wow. We understand that DAs, which I imagine as delivery drivers, may have emergencies while on road, especially during COVID. DAs have struggled to find bathrooms while driving. Regardless, DAs must not return bags to station with poop inside. And they goes on to say they've noticed a recent uptick in unsanitary garbage being left inside bags, urine, and what have you. And Darina, there's also this, which this is a list of violations and defects, which you sent me as well to put up here on the screen, highlighting a number of incidents where people are urinating in bottles and putting them under their seats and forgetting to take them out of the truck when they leave the truck to go to work because they're probably super, or to go home because they're probably super exhausted from having delivered these packages and having to meet these insanely demanding quotas, these insanely crazy quotas that Amazon is putting on them, the pressure that Amazon is putting on them.
Right. So that was the first recent news that came out that, you know, these workers were working in inhumane conditions, because if you're, you know, a manager and you learn that your worker is doing this and you report it, I would assume if I were the manager, what I would do is maybe we need to change the quotas. Maybe we need to actually, you know, what are we doing wrong here that our employees don't even have time to go to the bathroom or to have a humane break throughout the day? And this is not just like a one-time thing, right? Like these, if you actually look at the story in The Intercept by Ken Klippenstein, this is something that's been occurring for a while now in several warehouses all over the country, right? And so instead of these higher ups being aware of this at Amazon, and instead of changing their quotas and changing things to benefit their employees and for them to actually have working humane conditions, they not only not only denied this to the public, okay, but additionally, what they did is instead of helping them, they made changes to monitor and punish, including docking pay. Okay, so this is what's happening. So I know that a lot of you that are watching right now are like me, and before, like, I canceled my Amazon Prime a long time ago. And if you don't, I get it. We all have to, you know, we all give money to the man in one way or another. But I just want to make sure that you think about this, right? These are the workers. Like, you want your package to get there the same day. This is what's happening right now. Is that the fault of the worker? Of course not. That's the fault of the situation that these workers have been put in, because a lot of people say, well, do they have that job? Why don't they have another job? The issue here is that with companies and mega corporations like Amazon, you get monopolies. And what happens is, as these companies destroy small businesses, there's not a lot of options in these cities to work. And so the only options that they end up is in an Amazon warehouse. Because these are like the thing about Amazon is that they kind of become the new modern, you know, sort of factory type job that we used to have back in like whatever the 1920s, et cetera. So they're basically entry level jobs that middle class people will try to get because there's nothing else going on in their cities, right? So they don't have a lot of options, and this is the one option they get. So that's why they resort to these inhumane conditions, to like piss in a fucking bottle and to defecate in a bag, because their job, they don't have other job options, and then their bosses aren't helping them. They are this is something that's like disgusting to me, because this is literally profit over people. Right. Like that's what's so gross to me about this story. And then on top of that, which John, you can show the people as well. Then while this is happening, for some reason, something happened within Amazon that the senior executives, people are saying that it's Jeff Bezos himself, have gotten very upset at the bad PR, because for a long time, Amazon has actually had a good PR team. But lately, because of these things leaking to the press, they're saying that Bezos is literally upset that company officials weren't defending Amazon enough from like criticism from Congress members. Mm-hmm. And all the way to the point where like he's literally refused to testify in front of the Senate. So now Amazon PR, the new Amazon CEO himself, Dave Clark, Amazon News account, have all gone after Congress, and they've been attacking the members of Congress, including Bernie Sanders, who is actually one of the reasons why Amazon lifted their wage to the $15 wage. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty crazy that this is what they chose to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you look at this situation here, and you it's absolutely right what Joanna has laid out. You're seeing so many reports from people. If you read this article in The Intercept, it is people speaking about people who have left the job have spoken about the pressures going on within these factories. It is you're absolutely right to compare it to what we would read in Upton Sinclair in the book that he wrote from back then in the 1900s, talking about what it's like to work in these factories, the pressure that they're under. And it's these kinds of conditions that cause the birth of unions. That's what these megalomaniacal people do not understand once they come into these positions of power, is the abuse of human beings leads them to band together to fight back against the abuse eventually. And it's amazing that people can be a student of history yet still be so ignorant of important historical moments. And we're seeing it now being repeated again at Amazon. And the thing is, everybody loves Amazon because they can get stuff in 2 days or what have you. But you're right. You have to kind of take a look at this and see what your desire to have that toothpaste come to you by a certain time is costing these your fellow human beings, your fellow American citizens, as they're delivering these things. They're pooping in bags, they're peeing in bottles, and it's because, and I think I've got the quote here, one of the drivers said, they give you 30-minute breaks, but if you take that 30-minute break, there's no way you're going to hit your quota. Then you get docked, you get written up, and if you get written up, then you get fired. And Adriana is right. In most places, you're not going to get $15 an hour starting out in some of the places where they open these warehouses, where they employ these people. So people are desperate to keep their jobs. The management is also desperate to keep their jobs because they're getting paid a little bit more to manage these people. So the pressure is coming from the top all the way down. They pressure their executives, who pressure the people under them, who pressure the middle managers, who pressure the workers. It's all just a squeezing and pushing down. While Bezos pays no taxes, makes, as Dorina mentioned, how many billions of dollars in profit. And it just is absolutely a frustrating. And the thing that really frustrates me, Dorina, is where is Joe Biden on all this? I'm glad that Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are out here, kind of rattling the sword a little bit. But where is Joe Biden? He's citing all these executive orders. Let's take a look at this. Let's take a page out of Theodore Roosevelt's book and bust up this monopoly once and for all and take a look at what's happening here, because American workers are being abused and they're being put in terrible positions to function and to be able to feed their families. And all of that needs to stop. And I think hopefully all the stuff coming out in these reports and these articles being written will absolutely force people to listen and the government to take a look at this thing and make some decisions, you know?
Yeah. And you know, to be fair, Joe Biden did speak on it a little bit, right? Like he did actually say, he did surprisingly to me, and I was very happy that he did speak out in favor of unionization efforts in general. What he's going to do about it, I don't know. It's the minimum. Exactly. It's the minimum, I agree.
Which is nothing for a president to say, well, right? Because you're essentially pushing it off on the vote. And if you have inside information, and let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, every president has inside information of how that vote is going to go, then you're just putting a lipstick on a pig at that point, and you're not actually taking care of this situation. You're trying to save face with a PR move, which he claims to accuse the other side of doing. You can't do the same thing if you're going to cry about the other side doing it as well. So I hope more than just encouraging people to vote for the union, I hope there's more to come from this than just that statement from President Biden.
Agreed. Well, and it's because, as I mentioned earlier, these companies are literally donating to both Democratic and Republican campaigns, right? So like that's where their corporate donors are. That's why we talk about this all the time on the show, that like that's why I think we need to get money out of politics, because then you run into these corporate interests that politicians shouldn't have, right? So, but I mean, I think people are also just, I don't think people are aware of how much is $1 billion, period. And I also don't think people are aware of like how much power these corporations are having now, because in the past year alone, 400,000 workers were added to Amazon's employee base, right? Like 400,000 in 1 year. That's a lot. They also added 50% more warehouse space in the country. Right. So like this is why people aren't finding other jobs, and they're having to work for these megacorps because they're becoming these monopolies. And these are entry level, like manufacturing type jobs. And this unfortunately gives for jobs where the rate of unionization is low, and it gives places like Amazon extraordinary power. So like we've basically been replacing all these like brick and mortar, you know, retail workers and sales clerks with Amazon warehouse workers. But the difference is that the Amazon warehouse jobs are much more physically taxing. They're isolating. It's more like factory work, but it's not paid like factory work. The issue, right? Like they're not being paid. They're kind of wanting themselves to be compared to retail versus like the auto industry. It's kind of like what Amazon's been doing, at least the senior executives. And all of this while they don't pay anything in federal income tax. I mean, it is ridiculous. Like, I want to read this quote. Where is it? Here we go. So Bernie Sanders specifically, it's a very simple quote that struck me, that he said, "When you have so much money, more money than can be spent in a million lifetimes, why are you trying so hard to defeat workers who are demanding decent pay and decent working conditions?" That's what I don't understand, right? Because if you think about it, like Jeff Bezos is the richest guy in the world. And so he could provide free childcare, benefits, wages to every single Amazon employee. He has the power to convert contractors that work at Amazon to actually make them employees and give them healthcare. And he's choosing not to. And he's not, this is an Amazon from back in the day of like 1998, where it was just a bookstore, right? Like he has the power to do these things and he is choosing not to. This one warehouse in Alabama that's wanting to organize, he is trying to stop them from organize. And he's hiring lawyers and fighting with, he's having his people fight on Twitter with Congress members. So this motherfucker is just showing me he's greedy as fuck. That's the problem. And he has too much power, and that's dangerous.
You're absolutely right. Listen, rich people are under the mentality that they're never rich enough. And it's what drives them to make as much money as possible. And also they take advantage of the business system because they lie to themselves. Well, the system is set up in a certain way. So if I take advantage of it, I'm not a bad person. I can still go to church. I can still, you know, give money I can do my philanthropy or what have you when I go out into the world. And the truth is, how you treat your workers says a lot about who you are as a boss and as an owner. And you're seeing already very clearly that Jeff Bezos gives little to no fucks about his Amazon workers, the way they're being treated in these factories, the way he's campaigned against the union situation, the way he's been, from what these reports we're getting, as you said, from The Intercept and other places, not just The Intercept, but other well-regarded sites as well, saying that he is wanting to launch a PR offensive to try to save the brand or save the face of the brand from these accusations. I mean, having tweets like, "You don't really believe the peeing and the thing, do you?" This is something that was right here. Here we go. Amazon News responding back to Representative Mark Polkin, who said, "Paying workers $15 an hour doesn't make you a progressive workplace when you union bust and make workers urinate in water bottles." And Amazon News, on their official Twitter account, went back at Mark Polkin and said, "You don't really believe peeing in bottles thing, do you? If that were true, nobody would work for us. The truth is that we have over a million incredible employees around the world who are proud of what they do, and blah, 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 blah." But then you look at the documents that Darina has had me highlight here, and you're seeing all kinds of evidence that people are pissing in bottles and are defecating into bags in order to make their deliveries and hit their quotas. And let me add another thing to this. This was reported by an author in Britain as well, James Bloodworth. He's a British journalist. He went undercover for 6 months in 2018 to work in Amazon workplace. It's called, the book's called Hired, 6 months undercover in low wage Britain. And he said that Amazon workers at a warehouse in Staffordshire in the UK resorted to urinating bottles in order to meet production quotas. While most of the employees they spoke with were drivers who deliver products, workers said the practice was commonplace in the factories as well. So not just the drivers, Darina, people are going to piss in bottles so they don't move off the line. and keep making their money, keep hitting their quotas, keep doing whatever else they're going to get docked. Now, I get that you want to motivate workers to work and hit the, you know, hit a certain quota and what have you. I get it. That's how business works. I'm not against capitalism, against a free market system. What I am against is creating unrealistic goals so you can profit off those goals and sacrifice the lives of these people, grind them into dust, and essentially turn them into fucking Metropolis. This is where the problem lies. And you see very clearly what we're seeing in the factories and what we're seeing in these drivers. And the fact that you brought up an excellent point, he is funding these anti-union efforts. Have you ever seen the film Norma Rae? This is what you're watching in real life now happening. This is not some fantasy from the 70s from a while ago, which was actually set in the, I think, the 40s or 50s or 60s or whatever. But like, this is a real, real situation that happened in 2021, where we're supposed to be like the Me Too movement and Black Lives Matter and caring for everybody and everyone has a voice. Here we are watching this man grind his fellow Americans into dust because he knows they'll be replaced. As soon as they die, someone will come along and take their spot and keep the profit going. This has to stop. This has to stop. Right. Americans cannot be treated this way by someone who is taking advantage of the free market system and lining his gold pockets with our money.
Yeah. And look, for those of you that don't know, I worked in tech for like 6 years. I specifically worked at Google, and it's there's a lot of grayness that I want to explain that's going on in these corporations, because you have so many employees that, like, the reason that these journalists were able to get this evidence is because there were disgruntled employees that think that this is wrong, and they actually are protesting in a way that's, you know, hopefully not going to get them fired, right? But there's people that are working at Amazon that don't think this is right, and that's why they're contacting journalists. And that's important to note, right? Like, that's why those are the people that are like the heroes, right? That are standing up for what's right. And so I saw it at Google all the time too. Like, we were pissed off when they were, you know, trying to work with the Pentagon, right? Like, when they were trying to like do artificial intelligence and things like that, right? Like, so that's why these things are tricky, because you have good people that work at these companies. The problem is the companies are so big now that they're becoming these monopolies. And the problem here that we're seeing is that, like, the higher ups are aware of these things, and they're not doing anything to help their employees. In fact, they're trying to lie to the public, lie to the press about it. Don't ever trust anything that a Facebook or Amazon PR person tells you, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, they're there to make their corporations look good and perfect, and like, they do no wrong. And that's a problem, because unfortunately, like, if you don't have a labor union that can force a company to meet the demands of just regular dignified working conditions, that's where you get corporations becoming inherently authoritarian, right? And so, like, everything that people are scared about, like, oh, like, you know, when you hear about China and like communism and like whatever the hell, like, this, there's, it's all, some crazy shit is already happening in our country. This is not right, right? This is something that should anger everybody. Like, people should not be working in these types of undignified conditions in our country, especially when they're working for one of the most powerful corporations in the world that's only expanding their warehouses. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping that people will see.
Well, another part of this too, Jordan, you got to ask yourself, you know, as we, and we're going to get into the second story, of course, with Matt Gaetz, but as these news sites, MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, OAN, and what have you, are chasing down the salacious evidence or details of the Matt Gaetz situation, why aren't they coming after Amazon and Jeff Bezos? Why aren't they doing these incisive reporting? Where's the hidden camera inside an Amazon factory? Why isn't this happening? Why aren't we seeing more and more of this kind of calling out by people in the media? Are they afraid that their packages are going to be delivered in 3 days instead of two? Are they afraid that they're going to open a package and it'll have a bag of feces in it? I just want to know why they're not, with their loud voices, which they don't mind spewing out on these TV shows or on social media, why aren't they out there banging the drum on this and calling out Jeff Bezos and launching these investigative pieces and hit pieces and all this journalism that could be going forward? Why aren't they doing it in larger numbers so that the cacophony is loud enough for Jeff Bezos to actually make a decision that is more favorable to his workers, or feel the pressure of the media to make a decision that is more favorable to his workers. This is what's frustrating to me overall, because the senators are doing it. Why isn't the media doing it in larger numbers?
Well, because they work for him, right? Like Jeff Bezos literally owns the Washington Post. If you guys didn't know that, the Washington Post is owned by the head of Amazon. Yeah. Right? Like that's a problem that somebody that has this much power and influence in our, not just our politicians, but our media. That's why that's, I think, the biggest issue that we have to face right now is how much power these corporations have, right? And so like, he literally owns the Washington Post, and corporations have like thousands of lobbyists that make big ass campaign contributions, right? So that's why we're here. And a lot of these corporations don't want their workers to unionize. Yep. And which is really messed up, because with technology nowadays, like you have all of these new employee monitoring software and things that we didn't have back in the day, right? Back in the day, you had your 40-hour week, which was just like going to work, you take your lunch break, sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes an hour, and then you leave, right? And you just have your, you clock in and out. But now people are literally monitoring employees to the second, right? Like that's inhumane. That's not, and it's all, and remember, it's all about meeting quotas and time constraints and like improving the efficiency of the supply chain, right? Yeah. Because for them, it's all about profit. It's not about people.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And this is what it comes from. They have no respect for the American worker. They're constantly suspicious of the American worker. So they're constantly questioning the American worker. So they have to keep in their minds the American worker under their thumb, under their foot, put their proverbial or figurative knee on the neck of the American worker and work them to the bone until they die, and then replace that number with another number on the line. And this is the stuff that you see over and over again. But I don't know what, because I mean, Congress is not going to do anything. Republicans are never going to vote for anything against Jeff Bezos, even if he came out against the Georgia law, which Minority Leader Mitch McConnell in the Senate said, you know, get these corporations out of politics. All of a sudden, he doesn't want corporations in politics. It's really funny. So you can't imagine they'll do anything to Jeff Bezos. This is what's
special. I mean, that Mitch McConnell's like, get CEOs out of politics while selling out harder than anyone else. Like he literally took almost $300,000 from like 30 something different CEOs. Yeah. Like, so he's like, so it's the Republicans, unfortunately, have become the party of pretending to hate corporate America and then representing the working class while they're taking CEO money. Like freaking, what's the, Nazi Ken doll, Madison Cawthorn was like, yeah, go after the hypocrisy of Bernie Sanders, Amazon News. I'm like, what, you think you're going to be a billionaire too? Like, it's really bizarre to see that.
Yeah. And you see these, you see, and what you mentioned earlier, I think it can't be overstressed enough. The fact that Jeff Bezos felt the need to make it clear to his PR department that you've got to go at these senators, the collective reaction to Amazon as a billionaire punching down, in essence, to these senators who are trying to call them out for the things that for the mistreatment they've got from their workers is beyond embarrassing. It's pathetic. It's sad. It shows a real vanity and insecurity. And I have to imagine this is why his wife left him. It immediately hooked up with somebody else because she realized what a piece of dog shit she was with. What a non-human being. I don't give a fuck if he gives to charity, to kids with who've got issues going on with physical hand. It does not hide or cover up the terrible treatment you are doing to thousands and thousands of your workers, and clearly not just here in the States, but across the world. All that stuff of donation to good causes and philanthropy, that's just to cover up. Look, the mafia gave to all those things while they were shooting people in the streets and stealing money and holding up people and pressuring these mom and pop stores to give them money for quote unquote protection. It's the same thing. It's modern day mafia. It's only because it's in a white tie and a black tie and a white shirt that it somehow is not considered just as terrible or low or bottom feeding behavior. But it is. And that's the thing that has to get changed as well overall. And I'm hoping that these voices get louder and louder. And you bring up a great point. Bezos owning the Washington Post. I read the Washington Post. I love the Washington Post. but I know what it's like to work for somebody who's super paranoid about anything negative being said or written about them. And so to not, so you hope that the Washington, you know, you can't expect the Washington Post to report this stuff accurately, because you imagine these writers also like their houses, their mortgage, the putting their kids through school and what have you. And they're afraid to write that incisive article about Amazon, because Amazon is essentially signing their paychecks. So this is the dangerous thing about having someone like this own a newspaper.
I mean, we just literally saw Jimmy Fallon acting like a cop with John Oliver, right? Like the fact that John Oliver is making that a joke insane. And talking to Alexa and saying, hey, Alexa, how do you feel about, you know, Amazon workers unionizing? And Jimmy Fallon's like, don't do that. Don't do that. Like people like that's fucked up. Surprised. Like that. But that's who they work for, right? It's all about them keeping their five houses or their eight boats, right? While there's people that are working overtime. And that's the thing that people also don't realize is that wages are stagnant. Yeah. While people are working longer hours, yep. Right? So like that's what people, this isn't about going after like a small business that you know, is just starting out and is paying their workers minimum wage, and they're all kind of working a lot because they just, it's like a startup. We're talking about the most powerful man in the world and one of the most powerful companies in the world, right? Yeah. They have the power to do this and to treat their workers with dignity, and they're choosing not to. And so the last couple of things I want to say on this is the National Labor Relations Board has found that Amazon illegally fired activist workers and things like that. I think these women, Emily Cunningham and Maren Costa, ended up on the news because they were fired for being activists at the company. And so the National Labor Relations Board is actually looking to launch a national investigation into Amazon's labor practices, because they've received far more labor complaints than other companies that are of the similar size. So I'm wondering if that's why we saw this freak out by the higher executives within Amazon, like telling people, like tweet at Senator Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and tell them who we are. Like, it's interesting. Like, I'm very curious if like Jeff Bezos is scared, because which to me is fucking bullshit. Cause I'm like, what are you scared of? You're fine for the rest of your life. You're scared of continuing to hoard a bunch of wealth while there's way more homeless people there has ever been. Like, I'm confused.
Yeah, to make an excellent point. What's this graphic here you wanted to show? The income inequality we were discussing here just a few seconds ago, yes?
Yeah, so I wanted to show this because this shows the importance of unionization efforts. As you can see, the 1%, now we're talking about the 10% here, they are getting richer and richer. They've gotten incredibly rich, especially during the pandemic, while unionization efforts have calmed down. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's interesting to see the correlation of workers' rights going down the shooter, down the shitter, literally, while these CEOs are becoming wealthier.
Yeah. That's very clear. You can see it right there and how the difference is and how that affects how much money. And this is why they go against it, because they want to keep lining their pockets. And at some point, I know people might find this un-American or un-capitalist or whatever, but at some point, you got to realize there's got to be a ceiling to all of this. There's got to be a cap, or else you'll never discourage people from wanting to abuse their fellow Americans in order to obtain as much profit as possible. All of that needs to change. We're out here changing social justice all the time out here in the streets, and I respect and love that absolutely, but we also need to change the corporate culture 1,000% and how things are working here in this country. You know, suspicious bosses need to be kicked the fuck out of their jobs. All this kind of shit needs to end once and for all. You have to put trust back into the American worker, and you can't do that if you're constantly questioning the American worker's ethics, dedication, and ability. And this is what's frustrating overall. And that's what is the foundation of why this mistreatment is happening.
And, you know, we're going after Amazon or because they're so big and because we all use it. And like, this is like a really big company. This happens in other corporations, right? Yes. Like, if you look up food factory workers, they're going through similar situations, right? Like Tyson and all these food companies, like just check them out and you'll realize that it is very similar circumstances. And this is happening in our country, right? Yep. Like that's why it's important to pay attention to where you're consuming from. And I guess the last thing is, you know, if people are like, well, why are unions so important? They're important in the fact that that's what allows workers to get a fair wage, what allows workers to get healthcare. Unions allow workers to make sure they're receiving sick days and vacation days, normal European shit that Europeans would be laughing at us while Fox News is telling you that that's socialism, right? Yep. That's the problem that we're working here. And this is an important time because the future of workers in this country is possibly dependent on people struggling against mega corporations. And so we need to make sure we're dealing with this now. And I'm hoping that people in Congress will actually, you know, come up with some sort of regulations, whether it's taxing the rich more, whether it's regulating the power these corporations have with like antitrust laws, etc. So I'm curious what's going to happen, but something's got to happen because it's crazy.
I agree with you, and we'll keep tabs on it. Certainly, when the vote comes through, we'll have a reaction here. But from what you were saying before we started the show, you're sensing or you're hearing that it looks like it's going to go. They're going to vote against unionizing, and these efforts by Amazon might bear fruit for them, at least for Jeff Bezos and the crew that believes what he believes, and these workers won't unionize. And you have to take, and I think there should be an investigation launched by the government to find out how this vote came about and who was pressured to vote a certain way. Are there memos? Are there emails? Are there witnesses to conversations, company meetings, where they express their feelings about the union and negativity about the union? That's what you want to do next after this election goes down. If it goes against unionizing, you got to find out how that vote went down to see where the maybe some violations were made by Amazon in making this happen and getting a desired result for themselves. Dorina, should we jump into some Streamlabs
and Super Chats? Yeah, let's do it. Okay. It looks like we missed a Super Chat here from Tim.
I got them all lined up.
You got them? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. So streamlabs.com/impolitetruths. Thank you, Leonard Kim, for your contribution. It says, hello, Dorina and John. I hope you're doing well. Roka, what would you have done if Dorina legitimately turned conservative? Yes, screw these corporations trying to skirt their way out of paying taxes. Shout out to World Girls. What a stream, rolling on the floor laughing. Glad you enjoyed that, Leonard Kim. If you guys don't know what happened, the girls had me prank John yesterday and call him to tell him that I was seeing myself align more with the Republican values, but I still wanted to do the show.
It was very, very funny. Had I not been on the World Girl stream already with a truth or dare, I might have questioned the message a little bit more. But after I was actually laughing halfway through the message, that was brilliant. But if she had turned Republican, it's America. She's got every right to turn Republican.
That's true. Like
it. And I think it would have led to even more interesting conversations on this show for sure and some fun battles after all. By the way, did you see have you watched the QAnon documentary on HBO Max yet?
Right. I haven't finished it.
Okay. I can't encourage you enough to finish this thing. It's incredible. We finished it over three nights, two episodes a night. Incredible. For all you watching, watch Q Into the Storm. It will blow your mind. If you think you know about Q, you don't know shit. Watch this documentary to get to understand really how deep this went and how ridiculous it turns out who Q actually was. All right. What's our next thing? What's our next
discussion? We have Tim Sim, who says, kind of stings that giving up Amazon Prime means giving up access to some of their successful streaming shows, such as Invincible, The Boys, upcoming Critical Role, The Legend of Vox Machina. But hey, that's the price to pay for not siding with anti-union. I mean, that's Tim, I hear you. It sucks. Yeah. But that's that's the problem with letting these corporations have so much power that then they end up buying everything, right? Like, yeah. like we're seeing, and it's not just Amazon, right? Disney's bought how many studios, right? Like right. everybody's like, it's like a dog eat dog thing, or like Pac-Man, if you're old, like me and John, and used to play the game. Yes. That's the issue here. It's like, while we're allowing these things to happen and there's zero regulations. And I'm not saying that, like, I know there's people that talk about like how much government should get involved, but they're already involved by receiving donations by yeah. these corporations. That's already a problem there. So if there's no regulation, and if the rich are like, if you know, we're seeing people like the president last time, the ex-president Trump, lowering the tax rate, corporate tax rate, and having these people pay even less taxes, that's a problem. Yeah. Right. Like now the last I heard, by the way, is that Biden was bringing up the corporate tax rate again, but not to the percentage that it was. So it's not right. Why is that?
Right. Yeah. Good point. You got to ask yourself why that's happening for sure. All right. We got another Streamlabs.
I think we're caught up.
Okay. Tim Sims says, always support small businesses and unions too, except some police unions. All right, Tim, strong words there. And absolutely, definitely support small businesses. And also says, makes you wonder how precarious the power of greed can be over ethical and respectful treatment of your employees if your business becomes successful. Well, I mean, you look at Trader Joe's, you look at Costco. These are businesses that are chains that are across the country, across the world, and they treat their employees with respect. You walk into any Costco or Trader Joe's, there's some happy employees who work there, and they certainly irradiates, and they stay long term, and you never hear about those kinds of conditions being put on those employees. Walmart, completely different situation, but so there is clearly a way to treat the American worker with respect and dignity and see the result in the work, see the result in profits still. So this is
yeah.
the truth.
Yeah, I mean, these CEOs are definitely not scared to lose their fortune. They're scared to lose an eighth both, right? Like yeah. there's a reason why Costco treats their employees with respect and they raise the minimum wage. And that's why I shop there, right? Yeah. Like that's honestly the little things you can do is by shopping at places that do treat their employees well. And you can research this. Like there's a reason why I shop at Costco versus Walmart, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then one thing I did want to mention, John, that we didn't is the USPS situation with Amazon before okay. we move on to the Matt Gaetz stuff, because I think I sent you a graphic, but okay. this just came out today as breaking news that apparently, so the National Labor Relations Board denied Amazon's request to install a mailbox on yeah. company property because it could be used to monitor the line leading to the voting tent. Or okay. give the impression of surveillance of tracking during the union vote. Amazon did it anyways, right? So they're actually violating labor laws, and Congress is becoming aware of all these things. And in emails emails obtained also show Amazon press postal service for mailbox at Bessemer Warehouse, a move the union fighting to represent warehouse workers that believes violates like labor law. So that's gross. Yep. I don't understand how this is okay with people, right? And like, and they keep digging themselves into the hole because when you have such a giant corporation, you're gonna get employees leaking your shit. In mm-hmm. fact, there was an employee that talked to Ken Klippenstein from The Intercept that I think he was just an engineer at Amazon that saw those tweets that were coming out, and he ended up telling his boss about them because he thought the Amazon Twitter account had been hacked. Because he's yeah. like, there's no way that these people are attacking, like, there's no way that like my company's attacking Congress, like that would be stupid. And then he just heard back from his higher ups, and they said, no, that's what they wanted to tweet, right? Mm-hmm. So like people internally are doing this because they're standing up for what's right. So at least there's that.
Yep, that's absolutely. A lot of people stepping out to highlight this. And you know what? You're under a Democratic president, a Democrat president. So you feel that if you are a whistleblower, there's more protection from you than if, say, you were under a Republican president or Donald Trump, who seemed to kind of tempt whistleblowers to come out of the woodwork for all the nasty, shitty, corrupt shit he was doing. here under Biden, hopefully people feel more empowered and safe to come forward to whistleblow on these companies and call them out and get some real change done within the halls of those businesses. All right, let's jump into this Matt Gaetz situation. Let me just put this all out there for you all. Matt Gaetz, the representative from Florida, there is a Justice Department investigation, the Department of Justice investigation that is happening right now on Gaetz. It is focusing on him and Joel Greenberg, who's a tax collector there in Florida. Joel Greenberg has been accused of sex trafficking and other crimes. Greenberg supposedly initially met women through websites that connect people who go on dates in exchange for gifts, fine dining, travel, and allowances. And Greenberg is the one who supposedly introduced these women to Gaetz, who supposedly had sex with them as well. They supposedly took ecstasy while having sex with Gaetz, which is understandable. I would try to, you know, be out of my mind.
I'd be drugged up as fuck. I agree. Yeah.
But Gaetz apparently was also taking this drug as well. There's also accusations here that he was providing ecstasy to these women who were underage at the time. The New York Times is reporting that they have scripts or receipts from the Cash App and Apple Pay that reportedly show payments from Gaetz and Greenberg to one of the women, and Greenberg paying a second woman that's involved in this. Of course, Matt Gaetz' office, after his top spokesperson stepped down right after these allegations came out, he said, out of principle, Matt Gaetz' office released a statement as if he's The Rock. And they said, Matt Gaetz doesn't pay for sex. Matt Gaetz doesn't do it. Matt Gaetz categorically denies this. Matt Gaetz says this is all wrong. And they are specifically looking at Matt Gaetz for him reportedly having sex with an underage woman, 17-year-old woman, and paying her for her to travel with him, which is across state lines, which is essentially sex trafficking. The reaction from the Republicans has been fucking crickets. These same people who were throwing feces at the wall over Andrew Cuomo and his sexual assault allegations have all of a sudden clammed up around Matt Gaetz. Why? Because Gaetz is Trump's boy, so they don't want to risk Trump's ire in this situation. But they haven't said a word aside from Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy in the House, who said that if these allegations are true, he would remove Matt Gaetz from his committee assignments. And you know McCarthy's very hesitant to ever do that. Ask Marjorie Taylor Greene about that. And also another part of this is that Matt Gaetz is the only representative who voted against a sex trafficking bill that was proposed in Congress. And you wonder why. Why would he be the only one? What possibly moral or principled stand was he taking at the time? And if you watch that interview with him and Tucker Carlson, you are in the twilight zone watching that interview, because Matt Gaetz tried to bring Tucker into his hell and say, remember that girl you met when we were going out to grab dinner? And Tucker gave his classic, I don't know what you're talking about face, and eventually said at the end of that interview, after Matt tried repeatedly to drag Tucker into his hell, Tucker was like, this is definitely the weirdest interview I've ever taken. And the sticking point here is these women are underage, and if he paid for these women to cross state lines to have sex, even if they're escorts, right, a 17-year-old, 16-year-old escorts, if he paid for these women across state lines to have sex with him, then it becomes sex trafficking. And now the new reports that happened over the last day or so is the Department of Justice is looking at some travel that he did to the Bahamas with a marijuana entrepreneur and hand surgeon named Jason Pirozzolo, who allegedly paid for travel expenses, accommodations, and female escorts. Gaetz tried to get him, by the way, in the background. These guys have a long relationship. He tried to get Pirozzolo to become the attorney general in Florida. And when that didn't pan out, he made him a board member on the city council in Orlando, putting him in charge of over $2 billion in contracts there in that situation. Pirozzolo has issued no comment on these accusations, but there are also rumors swirling around this whole thing that Gaetz was essentially parlaying political influence for these sexual exploits. And remember, if you go back and look at Matt Gaetz, he's not some guy who just walked into the Senate. He is his dad, his big daddy, was the president of the Florida Senate. And remember, Gaetz had a DUI in 2008. And now the other reports, aside from the Bahamas things, and this come out in the New York Times, that he sought through back channels to get a blanket pardon from Trump, something I have never heard of a president even remotely considering or accepting, is a blanket pardon, which means like, it doesn't matter what I fucking did, I'm not guilty. I can be pardoned, or rather not that I'm not guilty, but that I can be pardoned. And you wouldn't seek a blanket pardon unless you knew you did some pretty nefarious, criminal and corrupt shit. He is denying it. And then Trump came out today and said, a very, very clever worded statement, and it's rare for Trump. He said that
because he probably didn't write it.
Right, because probably Matt Gaetz said he never directly asked me for a pardon. So that means it could have been indirectly through friends, through back channels, through whatever. And he said, well, Matt Gaetz totally denies the accusations, and that's as much of a defense as Trump gave him. So this is all fascinating. And of course, it's coming out now, all this stuff from him in Florida, Darina, where he was having having fellow lawmakers participate in a competition to earn points for sexual conquests. Apparently, you got more points if you were able to seduce someone's married wife. If you were able to, and if you spent the night in a college sorority house, that also got you extra points as well. So, and the last thing about this, and we're going to get into all of it, obviously just giving you some background, some information for everybody who's watching. About an hour before we started the show, about 45 minutes, CNN reported that Joel Greenberg, that I mentioned all the way at the top of this spiel, Joel Greenberg is apparently working out a plea deal with the Department of Justice, according to his lawyer, Fitz Scheller. To kind of turn over state's evidence, turn over information for a reduced sentence, because he's looking at life in prison. If he's convicted on these allegations, it is life in prison. And his lawyer, Greenberg's lawyer, said Matt Gaetz is not feeling comfortable today. So there's a lot here to unpack and take a look at. Darina, what are your reactions? We've had like a week and a half of this story as it's progressed. Of course, Matt Gaetz categorically denying everything, claiming that it's a fishing expedition and trying to use the Trump blueprint to defend himself. It's madness.
Look, obviously, anything related to sex trafficking, there are victims involved, and it's no laughing matter. However, there is catharsis in seeing this real life 80s movie villain, frat boy douchebag. We all know somebody like Matt Gaetz in our lives.
Yes.
That we know that's just a lying scumbag right out of the Trumpist book that you know is hanging out with shady people because those people don't have friends. And you know this was going to come out. This is the least surprising story. What is crazy, though, is that these are the people that belong to the party of so-called puritanical politics. There's so much hypocrisy in claiming that you're the party of family values, and you have people like Laura Boebert, or however the crazy gun lady, and Marjorie Taylor Greene deleting a bunch of like Matt Gaetz tweets, right? Because now they're like, oh shit, never mind, I don't want to align myself with this person, right? But right after they were defending him, right? Like it's so fucking like, it's not surprising, and it's also gross because these people are literally like, oh no, like they're anti-sex, but they're anti-sex education, but they're also anti-abortion. But like, there's so much hypocrisy in that whole world, and now this guy is like actually committing crimes. Right. Like that are involved, like disgusting, like things like, meanwhile, these are the same people that go on Fox News and complain about people like Cardi B having her own sexual agency. Like, it makes no fucking sense to me. And I'm sick of it. And I'm glad that he's caught, and I hope he goes to jail. The fact that he was literally asking for a pardon before the news came out. Additionally, if you guys didn't know, there's also a news item that came out before the story, because obviously he knew this was going to come out, that he literally like said that he was going, there was talk amongst Congress members that he was going to One American News Network before the news came out, like that he was going to leave Congress and go to, instead of Fox News, he was going to go to One American News Network and be one of their correspondents, right? He might still be doing that. He may not go to jail, and that's where he could end up.
Yep, and you sent this to me. Let's update a little bit more here. This over on Twitter, the Daily Beast obtained documents of Joel Greenberg's Venmo transactions. In 2018, Matt Gaetz paid Greenberg $900 with the memo reading, "Hit up blank using a nickname for one of the girls. 6 hours later, Greenberg paid three young women $900. The girl who Matt Gaetz said to, quote, hit up had only turned 18 about 6 months before. She was a Venmo friend of Gaetz's. She is now doing porn. So this is a guy who was supposedly set to marry his life sweetheart and was actually also set to push forward the family values situation. Now it's very clear. And remember, he was highlighted in that Showtime series a few months ago called The Swamp. And they spent so much time with Matt Gaetz thinking he was this incredible person who was just like understanding what to do with politics. Everybody at Showtime, I want to see documentation. I want to see letters, emails, texts from these people. If they fucking knew that he was doing this shit and hid it and didn't report it, didn't put it out there because they wanted to get ratings for their show, they should be under indictment as well for whatever violation you can find that they didn't report this kind of stuff, because this is a crime. And if you didn't report it, you're complicit in the crime, in my opinion. So this is all madness, and it gets uglier and uglier. And I know people might think I'm partisan here, but it always seems to be the Republicans who are doing this kind of insane, crazy, dirty, fucking 80s villain bullshit that you see going on. And it's incredible how many Republican women keep supporting the men who do this and claim that they are strong, independent women. I just cannot put it in my brain and make it make sense, Darina. He is speaking at a woman's event this weekend, Matt Gaetz, for female Trump supporters that came out, and they're having him speak at the event. And Marjorie Taylor Greene herself, I know she says she was deleting tweets, but she put out a tweet where she was defending Matt Gaetz and said, remember the Russia conspiracy? This is the same thing. It's like, fuck you. There's evidence. There's receipts, bitch. I don't know. I think it's crazy to me.
And look, I called out, I forget, it was 2 weeks ago, I called out Kamala for doing a event with Bill Clinton about female empowerment, right? Like, there's hypocrisy on every level. However, yep, this is like blatant. And in the sense that the fact that this guy, Matt Gaetz, that looks like Butthead from Beavis and Butthead, was, no offense to Butthead, because it's a great cartoon. The fact that like he was going around Congress and sharing nude photos of women.
Yes.
And that's not even being talked about in the media, right? Because that's all not
explored for sure. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Or just the fact that he is the only person that voted against the revenge porn bill. Like, that should tell you everything.
Yep. The revenge porn bill and the sex trafficking bill. It's insane. And I don't know how this keeps. And by the way, there have been allegations around him since he served in the Senate in Florida, ladies and gentlemen. There have been allegations about him and his sexual exploits and his proclivities. A fellow representative called him out in 2018 on Twitter, about this kind of stuff. And so, to me, for the Republicans to all of a sudden feign shock at this is one of the most ridiculous things ever. And there's way more of this going on in the Republican. You know, there is all kinds of this shit going on in the Republican Party. And I hope, and remember, and here's the deal, for some of you that may feel this is a partisan thing, this investigation was started under William Barr, Attorney General William Barr, who was Donald Trump's Attorney General. So this investigation started while Trump was in office. So all these people who are so slavishly devoted to this fucking nutbag Cheeto, he always turns on you. He will always leave you out to dry. He has no loyalty to anybody, yet he demands loyalty from everybody. I don't understand why people feel the need on the Republican side to keep pushing up this Trump joke when he clearly would sell you down the street if there was two bits in it for him. So it's just madness.
It's weird that it's like people haven't seen gang movies, right? Like the boss is never going to care about you. Like, he's always going to care about himself before everybody else, right? Like the boss of the gang that you're in, right? Like, that's what's so bizarre, that people think that for some reason, oh yeah, like Matt Gaetz probably thought, I'm super loyal to Trump, so I'm sure he'll help me. He's like, of course he's not going to help you. He doesn't help anybody. Not even he doesn't give a shit. George Carlin used to say it. These people don't care about you. They don't care about any of us. They just care about enriching themselves and staying in power. It's that simple. And I don't understand why people think otherwise.
Yeah, you're right. You're
exactly.
Mike Shea says, hashtag stuff Gates would say. Calm down. I was paying you a compliment. Yikes. Yikes. this is an interesting point. Devontae Smith here in the chat. I want to address what she said. She said, what are the rules of female empowerment? He should be in jail for the underage girl, but the rest of the outrage is laughable if women have agency. What is, can you explain that out a little bit more, Devontae? I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. What do you mean if women have agency in this situation? Because
yeah, of course women have agency if you know they're of legal age and they're in a consensual relationship and they have consent, obviously, right? Like you have agency if you have consent. You don't have agency or consent if you're drugged, right? If you're in situations where sex trafficking situations, right? Like there's you don't have power in those situations. If these douchebags are just being frat boys and they're having sex with women consensually that are of age, I don't understand the outrage either. I haven't seen that part of the outrage, so I'm curious as to exactly what you mean.
Because I mean, these escorts obviously are allowed to make a living, you know, having sex with men and making their money. But I think there are laws about women being paid to cross state lines, because obviously it's not legal. Prostitution is not legal unless you're in Nevada. So if you're paying for sex and a woman is crossing state lines, that's sex trafficking. That's the deal. That's the way this thing works. But I get your point that you're saying, well, maybe those laws should be taken off the books because these women should be allowed to earn a living. I think that's a fair discussion and conversation to have. I just don't know where the end point is. And you could even argue because we live in a patriarchal society, that's how laws like that can exist. Whereas where it's not really, there aren't really that many male escorts that are going to be crossing state lines to have sex with women. So, or men.
Well, other thing too is like, and I think we've talked about it on this show. Again, this is like an all party thing. I also hate Bill Clinton, right? Like we can talk about other time. But the other issue too is that I personally think that sex work should be actually decriminalized, and that's, I'm all for sex workers' rights. And that is something that is a huge issue in this country that we all need to be better at. I think the situation here specifically of the fact that he's facing that he committed a crime because of the specific laws to that state, sex trafficking laws, as well as underage laws. The conversation, the issue with like, sex workers of legal age, like that's a different conversation.
Right. And here's someone said, it's their body, let them do what they want. Sure, Jeremy, but we have laws. So until you can do what you want, you can't break the law. That's the way it works. And so these women are not being prosecuted by the Department of Justice, but Matt Gaetz is, because he is an arbiter of the law in essence as a representative. So he should know better. And the fact that he's doing all this stuff. And look, if he provided drugs to an underage girl, that motherfucker should be in jail for the rest of his goddamn life. And I can't wait to hear if his wife or whoever he was intended to get married is going to leave him. I wonder about that kind of situation. So we shall see.
Yeah. We have some more Streamlabs coming in. And also it is after 6 here. So we are going to be letting in some of our patron video callers. If you want to keep sending your Streamlabs and Super Chats, streamlabs.com/impoliteTruths. Carol says, God knows we have our own problems here and I'm dying to discuss Gates, but I just want to shine a light on what is going on in Northern Ireland right now. Okay. While it's not 100%. Yeah, well, it's not 100% all due to Brexit. It's certainly playing a huge role in the unrest. Have you been following John? I think our president just literally just we have, I think, from the independent source that a Biden called for calm after week of violence in Northern Ireland, days of violence in Northern Ireland, blaming part of Brexit, like. That's the thing, like this is a whole crazy related movement all across the world where we're seeing a combination of what the media is like, you know, putting in fear into the culture wars. What we're seeing is a lot of other countries, for example, losing their democracy, right? Like we're seeing like the fact that there was these like authoritarian threats happening in this country. And then we're seeing places like Myanmar literally losing their democracy, right? Like the military coup that's happening there. And so I think that it's crazy that there's so much unrest all over the world, but this is why. Yeah. It's like this weird sort of fight between regressiveness and progressiveness and how the media also plays into that fear that shouldn't exist, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and Carol, if you're in Northern Ireland, for the love of God, we send you our thoughts, we send you our prayers, and hope you stay safe and your family stays safe, and you're not affected by these explosions of unrest and this anger that's being vented out in the streets. This is coming from Protestant unionists who are concerned. They're apparently, this is reporting from NPR, concerned they're being isolated from the United Kingdom and pushed into a union with the Republic of Ireland due to post-Brexit trade rules. They have been, for about a week now, the young people in the city have torched vehicles, hurled bricks, fireworks, and Molotov cocktails at police officers. This past Wednesday night, seven police officers were injured when masked activists in the Shankill Road area, a loyalist stronghold, hurled rocks and gasoline bombs and set a bus on fire. One of the things I'm encouraged about is a number of Irish, Northern Ireland representatives and Irish politicians are condemning the violence and speaking out against this violence. And also British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Now, remember, this is very reminiscent of the Troubles from back in the late 90s. And of course, decades before as well. He issued a statement saying, from Britain, the way to resolve difference is through dialogue, not violence or criminality. So you hope we're not going to start walking back into the situation that had been resolved, I think, around 1998, that Good Friday Agreement, and hope that this situation doesn't devolve into England versus Northern Ireland again, where so many people lost their lives due to this violence and due to some terrible decisions by the people in power there in England. So, yeah, sending a lot of thoughts and prayers to the people there who are dealing with this.
Definitely. And just so you know, Carol says she's in Philly. She's from Philly, but she just wanted to let us know that's going on. Thank you, Carol. That's important. And yeah, that's the thing, man. There's a bunch of crazy things happening all over the world. I also want to point out what Peter said here, that we're presently seeing America losing its democracy with voter suppression, right? There's different levels of anti-democratic people in governments all across the world. And so that's what we're fighting, because we all want to keep our democracy. We have also Tim Sim in the Streamlabs who says, what are your thoughts on Biden's executive orders on gun control today? Lots of conservatives are really angry online because it means going after some of their donors as well. Yeah. What does the Second Amendment mean to you two? Also, I'd rather have assault weapons be in the hands of those disciplined and trained in military basic training, like those Marines in some of the YouTube videos I watched.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I made a little quick graphic here for some of the stuff that Joe Biden announced today. Let's take a look at it here. He announced he wanted to have more restriction on ghost guns. All right, we'll get to ghost guns in just a second. He also wants these are executive orders that he is signing that are circumventing the Congress. He does not need the Congress for these executive orders. He wants new investments in intervention programs in violence-prone communities, something that was stopped by Trump or slowed down by Trump. He wants a directive to the Justice Department to publish model, quote, red flag laws for states that allow the temporary removal of guns for people deemed at high risk of harming themselves or others, and a comprehensive report on firearms trafficking, which has not happened in quite some time under the ATF. In fact, Trump was hesitant and did not name someone to head the ATF, so that report couldn't be issued. That was his intention there, so that people were unaware of what was actually happening with the situation with the guns. Now, as far as ghost guns, these are guns that you can buy and build off a kit in 30 minutes, and there is no serial numbers on these guns. You can use this. You don't have to pass a background check to buy a kit. There's no way to track these guns to you. All these things that are possible. And he said in his press conference today, it could be a terrorist, could be a regular American citizen, but you're getting your hands on these guns and you're able to use them to commit violence, to commit crime. So his executive order is going to hopefully force these companies to put serial numbers on all the parts as you build them, so that can be tracked to a person who might be using them for sure. He also wants to outlaw this this kind of harness or brace that's being attached to pistols that allows you to have even better aim with a pistol, which is what that guy in Colorado used. And as for red flag laws, he wants to put this back into motion and make it national, where a friend or a guardian of a person who has a weapon can go to the court and petition the court to remove the gun or any weapons from that person's premises because they A, might commit violence with the weapon against themselves or against a loved one. And he was mentioning how 53 women a month are shot by their fellow partner. And this is a way to maybe stop that violence from happening. And also, in communities where these red flag laws have been implemented, suicide rates have gone down. They found that people, when they don't have access to a gun, are not inclined to commit suicide or rethink committing suicide because they don't have easy access to a weapon that will make it quick. So I think these are positives all around. Dorina, what did you feel about the stuff that he proposed?
Well, I don't want them taking my gun because my penis is too small.
Hey-o.
So, no, here's the thing. Look, I gone to the gun range with family. I have family that are responsible gun owners and that work in the military, know how to handle guns, etc. I obviously, like, we, you know, the Second Amendment situation, we can get into what it means. It can be interpreted in different ways. It can be, obviously, it was written a long ass fucking time ago when True. We didn't have fucking tanks, you know, and shit like that, yeah. or weapons that can literally kill you in seconds. And that's terrifying. I don't know why anybody needs to have that gun, that type of weapon. But I just don't understand the backlash against any form of legislation, right? Like, it's like any form of legislation, simple things like universal background checks are a problem to gun lobbyists and the NRA because they lose money. It's all about money. It's always, it's like, I'll tell you again and again in the show, it's all about the money, right? The NRA and all these gun lobbying companies literally make bank after there's mass shootings, which happen way too often in this country. And so it's really crazy that they don't even want universal background checks, a completely normal thing. Canadians, I don't know if our fellow Canadian is here, but like Canada, they have plenty of guns up there, but they also have specific, very common sense gun legislation where you have to go through the process of purchasing a weapon, not just a background check, but also I believe you need referrals from like family members or somebody that can personally vouch that you're like mentally stable. I don't understand what the big deal with that is.
Yep.
It makes sense. We have driver's licenses. Like, right. Why don't we, I don't understand, like, why can't we have gun licenses? Like, it makes no sense that people are freaking out about that. And so it's just bizarre. And if you're just looking for like common sense laws, I don't understand why you can't. Somebody has yet to explain to me why they would be against something as simple as background checks.
Well, they default to the age-old argument of, I don't trust the government. The government's coming for my guns. What if the government comes corrupt? It's never happened in two centuries.
Right. That's what's so weird.
And they the same people who were scared about Obama taking their guns because a dictator might come into power, like they accuse Obama. Like Trump was as close to a dictator as we got. And the people in the NRA and the Second Amendment, right, they were all for it. They loved it. These same people who were afraid of having a tyrant in power who would take their guns. So apparently they're okay if a tyrant is in power as long as they let them have their guns because they're on the same side with this tyrant and have to share the same political beliefs. This is the hypocrisy of the stance like that. And regulations on this stuff is not taking away your Second Amendment rights. That's a straw man argument. It's a weak ass argument. We have moved past that argument intellectually, or else we should have. We should, as a country, move past that argument intellectually and actually look at this situation. Already over the last few days, we've seen gun violence increase. Why? Because America is getting back to normal and nobody learned shit, or not enough people learned shit while they were quarantined or hiding or in the house, And now they're out there doing these shootings, you know, and it's so frustrating. We've got to do something. We cannot sit around. And I love the move of signing these executive orders. It is something. And I hope there's more to come. And I hope they use these bills or they use the ability of the Congress, the 5150 that they have, the advantage they have there in numbers to pass more legislation to force these people to finally, once and for all, step up to the plate, have stronger background checks, have their weapons be registered, take responsibility. You know, it's the gun lobby and the NRA and the Second Amendment kooks who are always like, you know, you Muslims should apologize for being terrorists. You good Muslims should apologize for those bad Muslims. You good Muslims need to call out those bad Muslims, or you black people, you good black people need to call out the black people. Well, fuck you. Maybe good gun owners need to call out their fellow gun owners who are abusing their rights. Because like your little children, you can't handle the toys you've been given, then the toys should be limited, if not taken away, and your right to use them, for God's sakes. This is the problem that we have. And it's not a mental health issue. Of course, mental health is a part of it, but it's not a mental health issue. It's easy access to guns. That has to be limited. And I hope
happens. It's so interesting because I think I've complained already about the fact that I wish Joe would sign an executive order to raise the minimum wage, right? Like, it's interesting, like, the power of the president and, like, what things they choose to do versus what they don't do. But that's a whole different conversation. But obviously, I am for a form of gun legislation. I'm not for banning guns, and I'm not for, like, taking everybody's guns away. That's, like, an extreme position that, of course not. Like, I know people, if I have friends and family that own guns, and they should own guns because they're responsible. The problem is that people that aren't responsible should not own them. And most actual gun owners that you talk to, they all believe that it should, or not all, but most of them actually believe that it should be treated like a driver's license, where you just have like a, like, what is the issue with having, with wanting to own a weapon and treating it like you're getting a driver's license, or like you're allowed to drive or not, and you have to like pass a test. Like, that's common sense. Like, that doesn't mean the extreme of taking away someone's weapon by just making sure that they are responsible with their weapon, because they should be, because people that are responsible should not have weapons. It's very simple. And the people that are like, if you're scared that they're going to take it away, that means that there's some issues there. Right. Yep. Because like that means that maybe you shouldn't own one. Like, it's very simple, because if you're a normal American who's just likes to go hunting and or does it as a sport, you have nothing to fear. It's really bizarre. And but the NRA is obviously lobbying against that because they're losing money, because people don't want to lose the money. But it is weird that in Texas you can vote with a gun permit but not a student ID. Like that's a whole other thing of like the culture that I don't understand.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. What do we got here? All right. If you are a member of the Outlaw Nation, if you're a patron, we've put the link in the Discord. Don't see anybody who's coming in live right now. So maybe Sean can put the link in the regular chat. See if anybody wants to come in live and ask us questions at all as we kind of round into the last few minutes of the show, or last, depending on how we live. If nobody comes in, I think we can wrap the show up, to be honest with you. We like to create a little bit of space for people to come in and hang out and ask questions. Sean, did you want to come in and ask a question, brother? Yeah, all right.
And then we'll, by the way, we still have some Streamlabs to read. So if you want to send any last minute Streamlabs or Super Chats, we'll talk about those after we talk with Sean.
Okay. Let me see. Let's bring in Sean here. What's up, brother? You wanted to ask us about something?
Well, no, I just kind of wanted to bring up, the gun law interest, the executive orders are interesting, but we're almost 2 weeks into the George Floyd Derek Chauvin trial, and I just kind of wanted to talk about that and bring that up.
Sure.
It's really interesting to see how devastating that video was when we all first saw it last May, but when you see it from like different angles, and then you hear the testimony like from the 911 dispatcher and the off-duty the firefighter EMT, and then one of the bystanders was an MMA trainer, and on and on and on, and them seeing the police body cam footage, and the lung expert that was on today that pretty much squashed the defense's case that, that fentanyl was one of the reasons why George Floyd died. It's becoming more and more clear that if you have a soul in your body and you're one of those 12 people on that trial, on the jury, I don't see what the defense can do when it's their turn to convince you that Derek Chauvin's actions were not, he murdered George Floyd. I don't see what the defense can do at this point. Their tactics along the first 8 days have been interesting. They were claiming that the crowd was turning, could turn into a mob at any point. That they were there because they were in the street. It wasn't the right place to conduct CPR. Just a lot of interesting case points that the defense is bringing up. And the fact that George was resisting arrest, which at some point he was, but then when you listen to the officers who are trained in force, they're saying that, well, you are only allowed to use force when equal force, you're only supposed to use force equal amount of force.
Yeah.
So when George Floyd was resisting, then you're allowed to use force. When he's not resisting, you're not allowed to use force. And then not only were they using force, they were using death.